Now, just a little tiny reading here is a very outstanding portion of Scripture. It has an application for this hour, but it also has an application through the ages when it comes to certain principles that are cast, or the context, cast around or become the context, or a part of the tremendous prophecy in Mark 11 and 22. It says, beginning 22, and Jesus answering them, saith unto them, have faith in God. And this is the based upon the barren fig tree, which is a type of Israel. There was no fruit. There was lots of green leaves. And it wasn't the time of the fruit. There are lots of green leaves there. And it kind of reminds you of the hour in which you live. Brother Branham mentioned the leaves of the tree rejoicing and all that were Pentecostals, but not fruit. They didn't have fruit. The chaff merely contained the life of the seed. And the seed, but it didn't have anything of itself. And you notice in there, which Jesus said, let no man eat fruit of thee henceforth hereafter. And there you get Malachi 4, the burning and leaving neither root nor branch. I'm just hitting this casually, because you're old enough by now in the message to know just where I'm coming from, where I'm going. And then you notice he overthrew the money changers in the temple, and the seats of those that sold doves and so on, said, you made my house a house of merchandise, which is definitely Christ with his disciples and judging the false iniquitous church, the organizational church, the Jerusalem, which is on earth here, which was Babylon, and which Rome is Babylon today. And of course, one Babylon moves to the other Babylon. Pretty soon, the Pope will be over there. And you see the golden calf scheme. And that's when the people then completely come again. They're amazed at the doctrine. And of course, they come against the doctrine. And you see the sign for this hour, the very same thing. And then he cursed the fig tree. And when it was in a green leaf and no fruit. And even though the tree was not supposed to have fruit at that time, he still cursed it. And you see the same thing today where people are, they're up in arms about the fact that Brother Branham would say this cursed, that countdown has started. This nation, this generation is indicted. I don't pray for America. But it falls right in true harmony based on the foreknowledge of God and predestinating power of God. That when the Pentecostals should have gone on, because they were the last ones, the final age had come, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which means the true holy baptism, would have given them the understanding that Brother Branham was that man. They didn't have it, so the people are cursed. And that's one of the things you notice. Brother Branham will later on mention the sermon that Los Angeles and the environment there was cursed and so on. Now, they came by a little later and they saw the fig tree was dead, withered away. This would let you know the vindication of everything that Jesus had done, which was highly satisfactory to God because it was God doing it. Highly unsatisfactory to the people because they didn't believe God would do that. And so they worshiped the God of imagination. So the apostles, the disciples, I should say, were astonished to see that the tree was dried from the roots up. Now, you notice that this tree even had its roots died, were dead. When it comes to the Gentile tree, the life is in the roots. And the manifestation in Pentecost is all carnal, humanistic. Even though genuine gifts are there, there's no fruit there. And, of course, this is the great age. Everybody talks love. So if you think there's love in that age, you just don't. Well, you don't believe like me. I can't tell you I'm right as though I am right. I just know I'm right. You can do what you want about your love and what your thinking is. I can just tell you flat, I don't buy it. I don't buy peace outside the Word. I don't buy faith outside the Word. I don't buy love outside the Word. I don't buy anything outside the Word. Because if that word is not the conduit of the Holy Spirit, I don't care what this word says. It just isn't going to work. Because the only word that will not return void unto God is His own unadulterated, truly revealed word. Everything else is dead. Now, nothing outside this message comes to life. So, they marvel at how quickly the fig tree withered away. And Jesus at that time says, have faith in God, which the literal translation is, have the faith of God. Now, of course, Brother Branham was God to the people. When Brother Branham spoke and said, God told me to raise the Abraham Lincoln the dead, I'd challenge the armies of the earth to come and shoot me down if they couldn't do it. Brother Branham also said, you're looking at me, aren't you? He said, what thus saith the Lord in these things that happen ever so perfectly, or not William Branham. I have nothing to do with these. I was just a voice and one standing there, and he used me. And that against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. You know, a skunk spinner. Huh? If you can stand it, fine. God had something better for the man. He's got something better for us than skinning skunks or anything else. So, he says, have the faith of God. Now, so what I'm trying to say there is not just have faith in God, have the faith of God, which positively would mean that as God had faith on the grounds that what He said would come to pass and did come to pass, in this hour we have what Brother Branham said, the absolute perfect faith as never before. We have that genuine faith of God. Just like the Bible says, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Never said he lived in his own faith. He lived by the faith of the Son of God, which knew that God would raise him from the dead and bring every single thing to pass, which is now coming to pass, God himself doing it. So we are hooked into that particular faith. That's the big thing we're looking at. Now I said, verily I say unto you that whosoever say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said come to pass, he shall have what he has, what he said. Now you know that any person outside of the faith of God could not say that. Only a truly vindicated prophet like William Branham could say, you city that call yourself by the name of the angels, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be under the water. And so this has come to pass in our day. Now the mountain itself, the alley itself has not plunged in the water. But if you have any doubts about it going in there, you don't believe this message, you don't believe God, you don't qualify. See, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me. The word you is a principle. I'm used to using the word you, because many years when I preached faith, people didn't just believe like me. They just didn't. I had an extraordinary measure of faith in those days, but my ministry was not in that particular area. The same faith I had those days is now transferred into the passive, which is to believe this word. Now, William Branham was the one that said it. William Branham said to Billy Paul, Billy Paul, let me tell you flat, where we're standing right now, the sharks will be swimming. The same man that said, if I can't raise Abraham Lincoln, shoot me down, is the same man that said that. And I told you how it was in this place called Northland or Northrop or something in L.A., in California. The shock came and leveled to rubble the Mays department store. Absolute rubble. So, that'll happen on third, too. And, hey, listen. Nobody's happy that people are dying and all. But, I'm going to tell you something flat. Better they than me. I'll tell you the honest truth. I'm not some great hero that's going to say, hey, better me than they. Say, well, I am. Well, good. I'm glad for you. Bully, bully. Let me see it happen. No. You got to look at what's here, and it doesn't have one thing to do with you and me. No matter what you read anywhere, even Paul saying, I could wish myself accursed. That statement in my books was made by Paul concerning his own hungry heart for people dying around about him that knew not what he knew, and fought against it. And he felt terribly, terribly sorry for him. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus was cursed for the sins of the people. Don't Paul or anybody else try to rise up and say, hey, I could do that. Now, you can give your body to be burned. You can do a lot of things. But we must be very careful. We don't try to get where Jesus got and do what he did. The church is full of people who want to grab the ball from somebody and run with it. That, to me, is ludicrous. Now, he said here, because someone is going to say this. It's got to happen that someone is going to say it. Therefore, I say to you, in your capacity, what I'm going to say concerning this man in his capacity, whatsoever things you desire. Now, he never said that this man desired to see the mountain move. He just said, if you say to this mountain be moved, and you got what it takes, which is the faith of God himself, which is actually the predestinated will, or part of history, you're going to stand there and you're going to believe it. It's going to come to pass. Because this is an authentic prophecy. Now, bringing it down to the step. What's everything you desire? I didn't say this fellow desired. This fellow desires. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. Now, there's a principle there that faith, that rather prayer is motivated by, not motivated, but prayer works through believing. The motivation is a desire, and the desire, even though it says you shall receive and have them, you must be very careful. Because James was standing there, the brother of Jesus, and he wrote factually concerning this, that most people pray to receive and simply use it for themselves. To consume upon your lust simply does not mean something that has to do with sexual things or sexuality. The word lust in the Bible means pleasure. And some people would be fat as four horses and three elephants if they could simply get from God, you know, not bologna sandwiches, but caviar, turkey, rib roast, baked potatoes, quantities of gravy, to consume it. Like the Bible said, their gods are belly, their glories are shame. In other words, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Now, there are people who would not take it any further than a self-aggrandizement. And James says, you ask not because you have not. And when you ask, you only ask to consume it upon your lusts, and therefore you don't have it. And then because you don't go the Bible way, there's all kinds of rivalries among you. There's all kinds of impertinent things going on, all kinds of fights and everything else, jealousy, malice, and the whole bit. Now, if every one of us today had a nose exactly like this and 3 inches long, we wouldn't envy the guy with a nose 2 inches long. If all the women had beautiful baby blue eyes or brown eyes, they really opened just nice and wide, the right way, with lovely lashes and all, and the high cheekbones looked like, what is it? Not exactly Marilyn Monroe. I think she was a fine-looking girl, but I think, Is it Marlene Dietrich? I think she's a beautiful one. Well, if every single one of us, every woman was a like a Marilyn Monroe, and whatever the man is supposed to look like, everyone, there could be, and everyone dressed alike, looking perfectly alike, even walking alike, talking alike. What could you possibly ask for? You know, so well, why would you ask? Ate the same food, had the same car? Because you want to be different. Pride. He wanted what you didn't want and didn't need. So James is hitting the nail right on the head. He said, too much of your asking is dependent upon what you want, only to use it in a way that is not becoming, and therefore
You have no basis to ask God for what you're asking. Now, we go back to the Psalms. And the Psalms tells us when Israel, the called out people on the way to the promised land, got hankering for the carnal, which was the leeks and the onions. I know they killed bacteria, but with manna, you didn't even get bacteria. Who needed Russian penicillin when there's no germs for the penicillin, the garlic to kill? Manna does not give indigestion. It does not make you regurgitate or burp or anything else. It's absolutely fantastic food, energy all day long, and just marvelous. But, see, they wanted something different to consume it less. And the Bible said God gave them the desire of their hearts but sent leanness to their souls. Now, praying with the wrong motive, receiving answers, you'll have the leanest soul under God's history in this end age because there's no word going down there. You follow me? So, you've got to watch your praying. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Pray all manner of prayers. Watch and pray. Well, we can go into hundreds of scriptures. But we daren't just go into scripture and then say, I prayed, like I told you, this guy that he committed a really filthy sin against me. And I hit him right between the eyes on it. I said, you wouldn't even do that to a sinner. Well, I prayed about it. Well, I said, why didn't you pray to rob a bank? I said, you don't pray about sin. You pray to shun sin. This bird was praying to God to give him strength to sin. Then when he got up enough guts and nerves, he did it. Why'd you rob a bank? Anybody here like rob a bank? You know, you can pray and get your nerve up and everything else. You can even pass a lie detector test if you pray hard enough. Kill somebody? Yeah. Like Ames, he took a lie detector test. Who ran it? What psychiatrist gave him something? Where was his brain power that did it? One of the biggest spies in American history. Passed two lie detector tests. The farmer killed his wife many years ago. And they knew he'd killed her. They couldn't prove it. Every lie detector test. He didn't kill her. Finally, they broke him down. He said, yes, I did. They said, how did you pass this lie detector test? I pray. Prayer answers many things. Hey, let's have fun, eh? Don't fool with prayer and the Word of God. You simply cannot bypass this Word when you pray. Your motives, your intents, the material of your supplication, what you're going to do with it, all depends. Now, he said, when you pray, you believe. Without believing, you spin your wheels. Yet at the same time, you cannot stop praying. You must keep coming before God with His Word until it sinks deep down within your heart. I had a friend, old Herman Alexander, I think I told you about him. He needed a car desperately, and never had a plug nickel. His mother was a widow. He supported him, her, and his aunt. He was a preacher. Very sweet person, wonderful person. So, one day he asked God for a car. Now, he said, Lord, I realize if I ask you, that's sufficient. He said, I'm going to praise you for the car that you have already given me. And I'm going to praise you every day for at least an hour. And every day for at least, I think it was at least an hour better, he was in his room raising his hand, praising God for that car. And one morning he sat up in his bed and he was sitting there praising God for that car. And a man stormed up to the door, knocked on the door, and he said, the woman, the mother opened the door, he said, I want to see Herman. He's upstairs. Storms upstairs. He takes a shoebox full of bills. He dumps them on his bed. He said, here is the money for your car that you've been praying for. And he wasn't even happy. And Herman said, thank you, Lord, for the money. And the guy looked at him funny as though it wasn't the Lord that did it. He said, the Lord gave me that money. He said, you's a messenger. So he went downtown, he bought a car he always wanted. And he didn't really overdo it. He's a young guy. He bought himself a nice car, red car, with the proper spoke wheels and all. He went by that guy's house, knocked the door. He said, sir, I brought my car to give you a ride. Now you can prevail in prayer. And the prayer is legitimate. whether it's a loaf of bread, a hunk of cheese, a house, whatever you actually need, because prayer is based upon need, not upon fanciful desires that would make you the prettiest girl in town, the most handsome man in the universe, and all that sort of crud. Because you're already warned, you cannot add a cubit to your stature by taking thought nor keep one hair in your head unless you do something about it. If you lose it, and it's really gone, it's gone until you catch up with it someplace else. See, prayer is important. Very important, and it has very important rules and laws concerning it. Now, it goes on to say, and this is the part that most people do not like to inculcate into their lives. When you stand praying, the word means when you persevere, you keep on, you keep on, you keep on. Now, it says, when you pray, persevering in prayer, forgive if any have aught against you. Now, it tells you right there that you can be distracted by what is coming against you, what people are perpetrating upon you, in the midst of your praying, which would discourage you. So don't be discouraged. Keep on praying. Whatever they do, don't you retaliate. No matter what happens, don't you quit praying. Because you are going to have intensified problems when you pray. Because there's a catch to this whole thing. Now, he says that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, in other words, if we do not, the word forgive here is not that whole word that I have used in preaching, but it literally means more the removing and the disassociating. So that the more you get involved with what is done, you get more involved with the personality. The more involved with the personality, less involved with the personality of God, the more you're consumed with these things, the less you're consumed with prayer, which is communing with God and really standing there, praising Him and asking Him, believing Him to bring into manifestation what is already ours, because what we want is here. Because what a man sees that he had hope for? No, you want something that's here. So for you to really give your attention to that, you've got to come to the place of forgiveness. You must be. Otherwise, you will be entirely consumed. And the point is, if we do not forgive but harbor those things in our heart, which is so easy to do. I mean, it's just our nature to harbor those things. What has been done in unbelief, we simply cannot reach out in faith and believing to get those things that are ours. Now, he said that your Father may also in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. In other words, he may remove from you and separate you from these things, like Brother Branham saw, that the circle of the blood of the earth kept you visible to God with no sin and nothing particular there, because it scattered the sins until there's nothing remained. Now, it said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, what I see in here is that the unforgiving spirit, coupled with the wrong motive, lets you and me know that when we pray, we are merely spinning our wheels. Merely spinning our wheels. If we ever come to the place where we're like these men that Alan preached of that go in the closet and lock the door till God does something, you'll come out all right. But you can die the same alcoholic he died. You can be the same perverted man with money that he was. You'll end up in a complete mess. I found that prayer is not what most people think it is, on the grounds that they say, well, just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and that's all there is to it, because the prostitute can come, she's not going to change her ways, and yet she could heal and go back to her business. Look, I don't deny any of those things, but I quoted you the scripture. He sends leanness to your souls. And one thing we do not want is to have God answer our prayer. Our prayer is in order to find the self in a worse position than when we start. And that's exactly what can happen. You've got the chaff today has gifts. They're the ones with the prayer lines. They're the ones that are telling you all the miracles, everything else. And there's absolutely no place in them for this word. So, all right. What are we looking at in praying? We're looking at just exactly what I said. There must be the knowledge that we need something. We know that God can supply that need. Now, the thing is, if you can do it yourself, you have no right to pray to God except say, Lord, you speak to the spirit within you. You are here to give me strength and help. I'm relying on you now. Give me the courage, the strength to do this thing with your help that can be done. And it can be done. But so many things here that we need God himself to really intervene on our behalf. And the thing, what you're looking at then is, if you want God to intervene on your behalf, I want him on my behalf. Remember how he intervened with the forgiving of sins, the helping us to be reconciled, to come to him. Then just forgive that guy. Get him out of your life. Remove it. Just get him away. Forgive him. Don't have any bad thoughts and bad feelings and condemnation. Now, this is a tough one. I admit it. I can get fire and honor and firecracker here. No doubt I miss an awful lot of answers. I'll be right. I tell you, when I was praying for people years ago, I put in hours of prayer, hours of study. I kept myself in peak form for just one thing, looking at that word that people might get delivered. Of course, I was a minister. I could afford that. But we taking these little hints here. Whatever there is an unforgiving spirit, it's God does not want even you and me to bother him. He wants us to get detached from all those things that bug us, because you see, that's like the cursing part. We want to get attached to all the blessing part. Well, there's certain things you go through. And one thing is get all these things to one side that are bothering us because we can do it. We wouldn't be told to do it if we couldn't. Then persevere. Now watch. I'm going to put the two together. We persevere in praying. Don't stop praying. And don't stop persevering in forgiving. Keep talking to yourself. Keep communing with the Holy Spirit. Commune with thyself upon thy bed. I'm not quite sure. I thought it was one of the Psalms. Commune with thyself upon thy bed. In other words, in the night hours, the Bible speaks of communing with God. Spend your time and my time. We must give equal time to forgiving that we give to asking. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, this age, I think, is in the place of more concern with the issues that are bugging us that need forgiving than we are concerned with the issue of getting rid of it and standing with prayer. And as we stand with both, we will come to the place where God gives us the desires of our heart. Because it said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, your motive, what you want to do with it, he'll give it to us. And that's true. I've seen it. It works. It absolutely works. But you put your mind on, and you want it to work, you make it work. Like an old friend of mine said years ago, you get what you preach for. If I were to start a series on divine healing, there'd be a lot of people healed here. He said, why didn't you do it? Well, because my ministry goes elsewhere. I'm ordained to what I'm ordained to. I have the word of the prophet on it, and the prophet's words were not casual to me. I never asked him to tell me the things he told me concerning myself and him in the ministry. He would take me aside at times and say, I want to talk to you, Brother Bill. And I'd say, fine, let's talk. Never amounted to a long palaver. It was just simply those things he told me. I believed them. And there it is. So what you're seeing here, if you don't prevail, you don't stand there when things come against you, things are rough, looks like you haven't got the answer, they're not really, just you keep moving in that direction, and it will come. both. With this, then, is the expanded life of the beauty and goodness of the Spirit working by His Word in your heart and my heart and mine. And at the same time, because we can be trusted with the things He would give us, He'll give us. Now, many people were very jealous of me with Brother Branham, and I have no apologies. I don't care if they're jealous. I've had them come to me and tell me they were jealous. But they didn't know what I knew. What I knew is what Brother Branham told me. He said, Lee, you can come and bring any friend you want anytime, day or night, because you never used me. I never used him. Never used the man. And he appreciated that. Always got him the platform on time. Always put him forward. He knew I would never use him. Say, well, hey, I can get you to Brother Branham, this and that. You know, folk, I'm going to tell you something. This thing of being a prophet, especially with that pillar of fire, that's the closest to heaven and to God millions, if not billions, are ever going to get. And they're going to miss it by eternal years. Serious, isn't it? Well, you people are unfortunate. You always want me to say something. And like Jack Bell said, at least not long-winded. He's got a lot to say about the subject. So we have our time of prayer now. But at least you know where I'm coming from, or where I believe the Word of God is, to prevail. Prevail, prevail, prevail. Prevail in believing God for those things you can have, your healing and all. Prevail in overcoming our distaste, our dislike, our anger at what has been done to us. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we come together. We know, Lord, that our prayers are not even to be considered alongside of your word. But we know, Lord, if and when we truly give back to you your word, from a heart that's been cleansed, from a conscience that's been cleansed, from attitudes toward others, coming to the place of forgiveness, knowing as you forgave us, it was grace, and we're looking to you, Lord, for this prayer answered, which is grace, then you want us to extend grace to somebody else. Lord, we should not be too discomfited or disturbed by it. Help us to be such a congenial spirit, yielded, meek, and happy to do that. Just exactly when Jesus was accosted by Judas, knowing that he'd betray him, he said, friend. We know he wasn't a friend like the others, any more than Cain was a brother of Abel in the true sense of the word. They were just there. But Lord, we know that we can start with that spirit of quietness, bringing ourselves down until we do actually get to the place of absolute genuine forgiveness, absolute believing in our hearts as never before. So help us, we pray today, in the days to come, as we pray in our own secret chambers and those other places where we should pray. Praying for others for needs, may it always be this way. We give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's pray.